And I believe this with all my heart. We are in the last days. And I'm glad God has given our church an opportunity that most churches don't have today. And that's the opportunity to present the gospel in a Holy Ghost-filled church. Most churches today have done smothered out God, that if God were to show up, they wouldn't even know it. So I'm glad we're in a church where there is opportunity. If you have your Bible today, be finding Acts chapter number 20. We'll read a few verses there. I do want to tell this story. I heard it a long time ago, and somebody mentioned it again this week, and I got to thinking about it. There was a man that was a new preacher in town, and they asked him to come preach on the radio. And so he preached his message on the radio, and he went into town one day, and he saw this lady at the post office, and the lady said, she said, "I heard you preaching on the radio." And he said, "You did." She said, "You're preaching." She said, I don't like your preaching. It stinks." And the young man thought, well, he thought she was going to tell her he was the next Billy Graham, but she said, "You're preaching stinks." So she said, "I don't like what you told about how to get to heaven." She said, "You said he's the way, the truth, and the life." And the young preacher man said, "Yeah, he's the only way." She said, "Well, I see it different." She said, "I see this as like this post office. You see, this post office is in the middle of town. And all these roads out here, they lead into the post office. You know, there's one road that comes in, another road comes in." And that guy said, he said, "I ain't got but one problem with that." He said, "When I die, I ain't hunting the post office." He said, "I'm hunting heaven. And there ain't one way still into that place. Straight is the way." He said, I'm hunting heaven. I ain't hunting the post office." So hope you come here this morning hunting heaven and not the post office. If you have your Bible, be finding Acts chapter number 20. I'm going to read a few verses here. And we'll start reading in verse number 17. It said, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying away of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." There was something in that passage there in verse number 20 that really stuck out to me about a month ago when I read this. And I hope it'll stick with you today. This is the phrase that God gave me, and this is the title of the Sunday school lesson today. It said in verse number 20, "And how I kept back nothing." How I kept back nothing. And I thought about my own life, you know, and we know Paul here. Paul's a man of God. Paul served the Lord with all his heart. I wonder if today we're serving the Lord with all our heart. He said he kept back nothing that was profitable in you. Paul, in this writing right here in Acts chapter number 20, you'll find him, he's on his third missionary trip. He was trying to get back to Jerusalem for the Passover. You know, for the day of Pentecost. He was trying to get back. And he called from Miletus back to, he had a burden for the church at Ephesus there. And he called for the elders. He didn't have time to go back to Ephesus, but he wanted the elders of the church there at Ephesus to come meet him in Miletus. And he wanted to give them something. Most men that are smarter than me said Paul here only has like 10 years left of his life. Paul is a living dead man at this time. Many of the Jews are seeking to kill him. We all know Paul was persecuted. He was martyred in the hand of Nero. And God gave him this verse, and he made it stand out in my heart the other day. And he said, "How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." He kept nothing back. That book of Acts is written by a man named Luke. He was a physician. You know what that word there that kept back? It says a physician telling a patient not to give food to a patient. He kept it back. He kept it back from them. But Paul said that he kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. The first thing I want you to see is he kept back nothing in his service. If you look down in verse number 19, he said this. He said, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptation which befell me by the lying away to the Jews." Paul had a natural burden for the Jews, but he had a calling unto the Gentiles. I won't get into that today. There's a difference in a burden and a call. A burden is something that comes over you. You know, one time we went on a missionary trip, and this church sent us out. We took a Sunday school class up to the Indians up in South Dakota, and we put on a vacation Bible school. And while we was up there, I had a burden for those Indian kids, but I didn't have a call. I had a burden for them. I wanted to see them get saved, but I didn't have a call. Paul had a natural calling, a natural burden for the Jews, but had a calling unto the Gentiles. Everywhere you see Paul in this Bible and you see the Jews, they was waiting to kill him. He said, ain't it good to be a Christian? People waiting around to kill you. You know, the same way today, just about. You know, it's not as bad here in the United States, but there's people losing their life daily overseas on foreign soil because they kept back nothing. They kept back nothing in their service. First of all, I want you to notice that Paul, the hand that he was dealt. Paul was the man that wrote this over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 8. He said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. I want you to know this. Paul had a reason to quit. Some of you today may be looking for a reason to quit. Paul said, I kept back nothing in my service. He had a hand that was dealt. I've been studying in the book of Exodus in chapter number 14 about Pharaoh and about the children of Israel and how God let them out of up under Pharaoh's hand. You know what he said he let him out with? He said they let him out with a high hand. They had a high hand on life. I want you to know this morning that you have a high hand on life. If you're saved by the grace of God, God has given you a high hand on life. And thank God He's done it. And He's not done it for your glory, but He's done it for His. It's all about Him and it's all for Him. Paul was, in many of his writings, he said he was a prisoner. A prisoner. And I got to thinking about that term. A lot of times he'll say, I, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I began to look at that term prisoner and I began to think about it. You know a prisoner, you know what he's worried about? He ain't got to worry about his food, does he? He ain't worried about his clothing that he's going to get. He ain't worried about what suit he's going to pick out. He's going to pick out the one with stripes on it. He ain't worried about much of nothing. He's worried about getting out. But he ain't worried about the daily necessities of life. Paul was in that, he categorized himself a prisoner. And I'll tell you this, I thought about this, that you know what your service is? Your service towards somebody depends on your love for that person. There's people in this church I would do more for than somebody that's on the outside of this church. Why? Because they're part of my family. Same thing with Jesus. When He saved you, He put you into a family, and your service toward Him is going to depend on your love for Him. James said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. The hand that he was dealt, he was a prisoner. He thought that he owed things to God. I tell you today, I owe myself to God. God's done everything. Everything I've got is because of Him. And He's gave it all to me. Secondly, in His service, you'll see that the humility that He demonstrated. Look down in verse number 19 there. He says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. That word humility is a big term. I looked it up, and it means this. It means to be not proud or haughty. Be not proud or haughty. You know, a lot of things in our life that God brings us into, we can't do because of pride. Pride will bring you low. Bible said pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You want to be able to fall, you let pride rise up in your life, and I tell you what you're going to do, you're going to fall. Another thing I see in this verse is he said he served the Lord with many tears. The psalmist said this, he says, he that sows in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. Where have our tears gone in the Baptist churches? The people is lost. Like I said, we have a burden for people, but we also have a calling to people. There's nothing in this Bible. The Great Commission said we should preach the gospel into the world. That's not for the preacher. That's not for the deacon. It's for everybody. Paul said, I kept back nothing in my service. He served God with all his heart. He said, and this is what I wrote down. I said, we choose jobs in our church because it makes much of us. God wants us to have jobs that makes much of His Son. Makes much of Him. I thought about this in my own life, not just in here in the church, or I'm talking about my whole walk of life. You know, we always want somebody to pat us on the back. God said we ought to be humble. And I found a quote by Benjamin Franklin. This is what he said. He said, to humble to superiors is duty, to equals courtesy, to inferiors nobleness. And then I found a quote by a lady, and I liked it better than I did his. She said this: "He who is humble is confident and wise. He who brags is insecure and lacking." And a lot of times we find ourselves on that. I like that quote Brother Randy quoted last Sunday by Eleanor Roosevelt. I hadn't forgot it yet. That was a good lesson. Paul said he kept back nothing in his service. Secondly, we'll see that Paul kept back nothing in his sermon. Look down in verse number 21. He said, verse 20, he said in the latter part of that verse, "And have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." He kept back nothing in his sermon. A lot of you may not ever find yourself up here teaching a Sunday school class. You may not ever find yourself up here preaching to hundreds of people. But I tell you what you're doing. Each day that you live, you're preaching a sermon. You're teaching your kids something. You're teaching your grandkids something. I'm teaching my son something, you know. And I went out. My son plays baseball. And I look out across those people that are there, you know, and I thought about all the kids that were out of church that I know. We have opportunity. And I began to look at them, and I began to think of how sin would destroy all of us if we was out here for just a couple of weeks. It wouldn't take us long to get out there. And Paul said he kept back nothing with his sermon. First of all, he said it was a message that he lived. It was a message that he lived. He said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 27. He said, "I keep under my body into subjection, lest by any means what I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." He said, "I keep under my body and bring it under subjection." And I thought about that. That's good, to keep up underneath your body. The book of Romans chapter 13 and verse number 14, it says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." And a lot of times I find myself that if I want to get angry, I can get angry. If I want to get mad, I want to get mad. You know what I did? I made provision for that. And I tell you what, in your Christian walk and in your Christian life, you know what our natural thing is when somebody comes up and pushes us? We're ready to push back, ain't we? It's in us all. It's in me. You say, "Not you, Brother Adam." It's in me more than anybody in here. I can tell you that already. He kept back nothing in his sermon. It was a message that he lived. He said he couldn't preach into others unless he himself, he would be a castaway. You think about that. Who said that? That's Apostle Paul. You'll find that in Acts chapter number 8, Paul actually started the first missionary trips of the church. Remember in Acts chapter number 8, he was persecuting the church and the church got scattered abroad. You remember in Acts chapter number 1, we find the whole church is there in Jerusalem and God told them to wait there until they'd be endued from power from on high. When Paul began to persecute the church began to be scattered abroad. And he actually started the first missionary trips out of the church. Paul did, by persecution. Let me tell you this, persecution never hurt a church. It only helped the church. If you'll read through that book of Acts, every time you saw the church that was persecuted, it was a church that was on fire and it was powerful. And the world's not going to like the church. But I tell you what it had the power of God. And when people came in, you know what was happening? People were getting saved because they kept the power of God. He kept back nothing in his sermon. It was a message that he lived. It was a message that he loved. I wonder today, do we love telling the old story? That God saves old sinners. God will save anybody if they just call on Him. It was a message that He loved. You'll find that throughout Paul's life. I pulled out two occasions. You remember in Acts chapter number 24, you remember who he was preaching to? He was preaching to a guy named Felix. Paul was in jail. The Holy Ghost warned Paul that when he got out of this story, he'd go on into Caesarea and into Rome. He said God forbade him. The Holy Ghost said, "Paul, don't go there. Why? Because he'd be locked up." But Paul went anyway. And he found himself before Felix. And this is what Felix told him after he'd done preached all his heart to him. He said, "In a more convenient season," he shunned him. And today you'll see people walk in and out of this church. And you know what they'll do? They'll say, "When I have a convenient season." And I'm going to tell you, when you're serving God, there's not going to be a convenient season. I tell you, He's going to call the people that's unequipped. He's going to call you. He's going to call you to do something that you think I cannot do. I remember when I first I got saved back in April 8, 1998. My daddy-in-law was a pastor of a church, and I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything. My mama took me to church all my life. I never did any care of my Bible. And I remember I'd have little kids sit beside me, and the preacher would say, "Turn over to 1 John, chapter number 1." And I didn't know there wasn't but one John in the Bible, and they'd be looking at me because I was older than them. They'd be on speed dial. It seemed like they could just open it up, and it'd just fall right there where they wanted it to be. And here I was, 19 years old, didn't know anything about the Bible. Didn't know anything about it. It was a message that he loved. I found myself, you know, wanting to study, wanting to keep. I had to play catch up. I'll just be honest, because I didn't know. It was a message that he loved. He said this to Agrippa in Acts chapter number 26. He preached his heart out to that man. You know what he said? Agrippa told this to Paul. He said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." There may be many people today that will almost be persuaded to be a Christian. But Paul, it didn't. And this is what came to my mind. You're not going to win everybody. Paul had to learn that. Paul got commissioned in Acts chapter number 9. He got saved on the Damascus Road, and God called him to preach. And the Bible said, and straightway Paul preached into the synagogues. You know what he did? Paul had a lot of straightway in him. A lot of us have a lot of straightway in us. We want to do what God, you know, just get out there. And Paul had to learn that, you know, losing in the kingdom of God never defeats you. It never defeats you. But see, the battle is not ours. A lot of us are fighting battles that are never intended for us to fight. And I fought a lot of battles I never was intended to fight. I remember when God saved me, I said, "I'm going to go share the gospel, and I think they'll get saved." And I had all that in my mind. And Paul was the same way. He said, "I'll go preach to these Jews, they'll be saved. Then I'll turn around and preach to the Gentiles, and you can come back, and we'll wrap this thing up. And we'll be done." And a lot of us have that same way. We go to buy a house, we go to buy a car, and we don't even pray and ask God to help us. We've got a lot of straight way in us. God had to knock the straight way out of Paul before he could preach these messages down the road. And he did that. He was finding himself as a wise Christian, and it was a message that he loved, but it was a message that he learned. You know how he learned it? The Bible said in Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 10, he said, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." And you want me to tell you how you're going to know God? You're not going to know God on the mountain. You're going to know him in the valley through suffering. And this is I heard an old black woman say this the other day. She said this: a lot of us are down in the valley, and we don't. All we can see is that big mountain in front of us. You know what she said? She said, "If the mountain was smooth, you couldn't climb it." If the mountain was smooth. You may find yourself stepping up on a jagged rock. You may be grabbing hold to one tree. But I tell you, the mountain is not smooth. Thank God there's a tree to hold on to. Thank God for that. This is what Dryden said. He said, "His preaching much, but more his practice wrought, a living sermon of the truths he taught." It was a message that he learned. I found this poem. It said, "You are writing a gospel each day, a chapter each day, by the deeds that you do, by the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faulty or true. What is the gospel according to you?" I find myself, there's a church that I weed eat for, I cut grass for, and I find myself when I weed eat and I need something to do. Anybody get a witness? Whenever you're having to cut grass in the hot sun and your lawnmower don't want to work, it doesn't make you always want to think about God, does it? But I tell you what I do when I'm out there weed eating, and I got this cemetery, I read people's tombstones, I read their footstones, you know, and read what people have actually said about that person. On one, I read this. It said, "An inspiration to all who knew him." I read that on one of them. And I remember one we got for Brother John D. Weathers, you know, when he passed on, it says, "A preacher's friend." It says it on his footstone, you know. And what are we leaving on this, on our, what are they going to write on your grave? Paul here only, most people said he only had 10 years left in his life. He said, you know what he said? He was writing his own obituary, is what Paul was doing. You know, when you roll me down here in front of this church, or you don't have, just preach to everybody. I've already preached my sermon. Whenever you roll me up here, it's over with. The day that I close my eyes in death, it's over with. We're writing a sermon day by day, and whether good or bad. Paul said it was a message that he learned. I remember this story in the Bible. It's found over in 2 Chronicles chapter number 26. But most of you all know about it in Isaiah chapter number 6. It said in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train filled the temple. We all know him from that, don't we? And remember the seraphims was crying around him saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips." But you know who Uzziah was? You'll find him over in, if you want to read his account, you'll find him over in 2 Chronicles chapter number 26, and this is what it says. Uzziah was a man that began to reign in Jerusalem when he was 16 years old, and he reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem. How would y'all like to be called out to take over the rule of a nation at the age of 16? I can say I was not ready at the age of 16 to take over anything, but Uzziah was. God had called him out, and the Bible said as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And it said this, so God had used Uzziah, and God had taught Uzziah, and God had made him make a great man of war, and he'd take over much land. But it says this, he said he was marvelously helped until he was strong. You know what rose up in his heart? There was a thing called pride, because God, he wanted to burn incense on the altar, and God had given that to the sons of Aaron. The priesthood was for the sons of Aaron. And you know what they wrote on his tombstone? God smote him with leprosy because of his sin, because he wanted to burn that incense. And they tried to get him out of the temple, and they wouldn't go. And God smote him with leprosy, and the leprosy rose up for him. And he couldn't even go back into the house of God because of that leprosy. You know what they wrote on his tombstone? They did not write that he had taken over all those nations. They did not write that he was 16 years old when he began to rule. They did not write that he was a good ruler for 52 years. But you know what they wrote on his tombstone? For he was a leper. And that's what everybody remembered him for. They remembered him for his sin. I'm not here to cast a stone. I'm glad God is a God of second chances. But be careful with your name. Your name is all you got down here, whether it be good or bad. He kept back nothing in his sermon. You're writing a sermon each day. The third thing I want us to look at this morning is he kept back nothing in his selflessness. Look down in verse number 24. It says, "But none of these things move me, neither I count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I'm gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." Paul said a mouthful when he read those three verses there. He said himself, he recognized his position. Let me tell you this, God works in opposites. God works in opposites. Paul was a man that always wanted to win. Paul, a lot of people said he was like a gladiator, you know, and he ran all these races and he did all these things, you know. We think of him like a football player, you know, and God had to teach him how to lose. God may teach you how to lose so that you might win. God teaches us to die that we might live. You know, God always works opposites. You know, things that seem right in our eyes are not right in the eyes of God. And things that are right in His eyes doesn't seem right to us. God works in opposites. Paul always wanted to be first, but to be great in God's eyes, he may have to be last. The greatest in the kingdom of heaven is the least, and the least is the greatest. Secondly, here you'll see the record of his purity. He said in verse 26, he said, "Wherefore I take you record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." The record of his purity. Paul said, "When I stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ," and that's where all of us stand if you're saved by the grace of God. You will not stand in front of the great white throne judgment unless you're not saved. Paul said, "When I stand before God at that judgment seat or the bema seat," he said, "I'll be pure from the blood of all men." And I thought about that, and that come hit me at home, because there's people that God has placed in my path. And he said, and he's nudged my heart and says, "Share that gospel with them." You know, and you may meet somebody at the gas station, and they may not look just like you. And they might not have your color of hair. And I noticed this. I'll tell you this, it's funny. Whenever I got my fishing license this year, it said, "What color hair do you have?" And they got a new thing on there. It says, "Bald." I didn't know that was a hair color. But anyway, I had to circle it. But anyway, people may not smell like you, but I tell you what you want to be. You want to be free from their blood. The blood of all men. Paul said, "Hey, I'm pure from the blood of all men." You know why? because he kept back nothing in his service. He kept back nothing in his sermon. He kept back nothing in himself. He learned that that losing never defeated him. And he didn't have to be first anymore because the battle wasn't his. The last thing I'll leave you with this morning, he kept back nothing from the sheep. Look down in verse number 28. He said, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." He said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." He said, I want you guys, he called those elders unto him. He said, "I want you to keep back nothing from the sheep." He said, "Let them know what's going on." He said he knew wolves was coming in. I'm telling you, there's going to be a day wolves are going to come into the church. You better be careful. The wolves are going to come in. The book of Revelation said that God had ordained people to come into the church that you would worship in front of him and let him know that he loved you. They could look at you and by how you worship and know that he loved you. So don't think it's strange when wolves come in here. We need to keep them beat out. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to be wolves come in here. Paul was teaching these elders there at Miletus that had come over there from Ephesus to Miletus. He said, don't keep back anything from the sheep. Sheep are very important to God. If you've been saved, the Bible says you're a sheep of His pasture. Thank God there's a green pasture that we can come in and out of. He gave them an exhortation and encouraged the elders about their flock. And I'll leave you this because I've had it happen to me. It says, "And also of yourselves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." And always, when I read that, it always reminds me, it's a funny story, but I'll tell it anyway. There was a lady that lived up the road from me when I was dating my wife. You know, and if you're dating a preacher's kid, it's a different story. Everybody's watching you. And I'm sure Macy and Megan can attest to this. But everybody watched her because she was the preacher's daughter. You know, and this lady lived right up the road from me, so she'd see me if I was going to town, and if she was coming to my house, she'd see her come by. One day she passed her house, and she was out on the front porch, you know, and looking at her, and she said, "The speed limit on this road is 45, but I think she's doing about 60. So I'm going to call her mom and daddy and tell her that she's doing about 60. People's going to, they'll do that. And that's what they did to her. Called her mom and daddy and said, "I think she was doing about 60. Well, how foolish is that? But you're going to see in the last days people come in and do something like that same thing. Speak perverse things about you to draw away disciples after them. And some of them are going to leave. You know why? Because they're not rooted and grounded in the faith. And that's why it's important for us to be rooted and grounded. Paul said he kept back nothing in his service. He kept back nothing in his sermon. He kept back nothing in his selflessness. But he also kept back nothing from the sheep.